when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world. You'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. I really appreciate you doing that. I think we had a great first hour. And just in case you're just tuning in, we're continuing on pretty much the same extension of the first hour. We have my sister Braveheart Monica on, and my brother Paul. I think I'm going to start calling Paul the valedictorian, because he's intellectual and he was the valedictorian of his high school class. Everybody on Blood River Radio, we have to have nicknames. So anyway, we're going to go right back to Sister Monica. She has a few quotes she has outlined during the break, and very important quotes. And so you need to pay close attention if you don't mind. So go ahead, Sister Monica.
Okay, well, this is different than usual when I've been, reading quotes sort of that stand on their own. What I'm doing now is I'm reading out of the book Hellstorm by the late Thomas Goodrich. And this is the section here that talks about the refugees who were fleeing the Red Army, and the only way out was by sea on these ships. And we talked a little bit about that in the first hour, but here I'll just start reading and I'll be skipping ahead here and there, and So for millions of Germans cut off on the Baltic coast by the rapid Russian advance, there was only one avenue of escape, and that was the sea. And even here, though, the Soviet aircraft controlled the skies above and the submarines prowled unseen below. In the various ports along the coast, thousands upon thousands of ragged, frozen refugees pressed to the water's edge in hopes of landing a spot on one of the few vessels available. The crush to get on board was just terrible, a witness wrote. Now, I'll skip ahead here. Because armed guards had orders to evacuate as many women and children as possible, babies were sometimes used like tickets, with half-crazed mothers tossing infants down to relatives on the pier, so that the relatives could get up on the boat as well. And some of the children landed safely and some did not. It's terrible. If anything, the situation at Gotenhafen was even more horrific. As the Wilhelm Gustloff made ready to take on passengers in late January 1945, the ship's crew were stunned by what they saw. There must have been 60,000 people on the docks, remembered the second engineer. As soon as we let down the gangways, people raced forward and pushed their way in. In the confusion, a lot of children got separated from their parents. Either the children got on board, leaving their parents on the harbor, or the children were left behind as their parents got pushed forward by the throng. Can you imagine? That's just a nightmare. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit again. That black stormy night, as she struggled through high winds and heavy ice-filled waves, the Gustloff's ventilation and plumbing systems failed utterly. Strained far beyond its limits, the tightly sealed ship filled with a hot, nauseating stench of urine, excrement, and vomit. The groans and screams of severely wounded soldiers and the wails of separated families added to the ghastly horror. But the worst was yet to come. At approximately 9 p.m., three heavy jolts rocked the passengers on the Gustloff. Vroom, vroom, vroom. That's what it sounded like, recalled a young boy upon hearing the torpedoes. I heard the explosions, wrote engineer. Knust, and I knew what had happened at once because the engines stopped, and then I saw a rush of water through the engine room. First the ship lurched to starboard upon under the force of the blast, then she rose and began listing to port. I put on my shoes and jacket and hurried out into the corridor. Panic-stricken, thousands below deck stampeded through the narrow passageways, crushing and clawing. I'm going to skip forward a little bit. There's a bit of more description about, you know, what's going on here. Then most lifeboats were frozen solid, and even those that could be freed were mishandled in the panic and spilled their screaming occupants into the Black Sea. Oh, my goodness. As somebody's witness, I could see people leaping from the side of the ship into the sea. I thought those who escaped drowning would freeze to death. It was so cold. I'm going to skip forward again. Another testimony. I cannot forget the loud, clear sound of the siren as the Gustloff, with all her lights. This is an hour later after the Gustloff was first hit. It only took 1 hour. So I'll just resume here. When the Gustloff, with all her lights on, made the final plunge, I could clearly see the people still on board the Gustloff clinging to the rails. Even as she went under, they were still hanging on and screaming. All around us were people swimming or just floating in the sea. I can still see their hands grasping at the sides of our boat. It was too full to take on any more. When rescue ships later reached the scene, they pulled from the icy waters a mere 900 survivors. All else, they say here in the book, roughly 7,000 men, women, and children were lost, but I think that more recent estimates are higher than that. They estimate that there were 9,500 on board in total. So if there were only 900 survivors, that's 1 out of 10. Like you said earlier, Paul, that you had a 1 in 10 chance to survive this. Just one more thing to say here. This is an entry, like it must be a journal entry from someone, January 21st. So this is before that. And it's important because of this statement. Strange to say, the population intends to remain here. This is in those territories where many were fleeing from. But this person says, strange to say, the population intends to stay here and is not afraid of the Russians. The reports that in one village they raped all the women and abducted all the men and took them away to work somewhere must surely have been exaggerated. How dreadful it would be if Goebbels was telling the truth after all. And I'll just comment about that. You know, there were soldiers' letters that they sent home after the troops went into Russia that said, you know, I used to think that they were just exaggerating with all these stories of what the Soviets were doing, what the Red Army was doing. I thought it was just war propaganda, but it is so much worse than that. That is what the soldiers' letters contained in them when they were writing home after they went into Russia on the front. And so that little diary entry where somebody was, you know, saying surely they're exaggerating about it, you know, so many people did opt to stay, but then they wished later on that they had fled, because the scenes that then ensued of rape and night after night more of these Russian soldiers coming and just absolute abuse and horror. So anyway, that's my bit. I'll pass it over to one of you.
I'd make a quick comment. You know, if I remember right, we had Paul English on before. Yes. He made the point that early on, that the shock troops, Russian troops, did the real heavy fighting. They were pretty much white, almost like us, and they would tell the people in Poland or whatever, in Germany, you need to get the hell out of here because the soldiers coming behind us are the ones, the brutal, the primitive, animalistic murderers or rapers, and those were the Mongolian troops. The original, like to say, the Germans SS Waffen troops, the Russians were the white Russians were like white people in general, less brutal. Paul, you seem like you know something about that. Go ahead, Paul.
It's interesting. One of my, oh, this longtime colleague, he's dead now, but his family was fleeing, I'm not exactly sure from where, the edge of Lithuania, I think, toward Berlin. And the Soviets were already there. And he said, actually, it was a Russian officer who helped his mother. I think there was another brother, but his mother and her child, onto a train, and stood guard, but kept an eye on them to make sure that they're not going to be harmed. So it's as you say, what followed next were the Mongolians, and they're bad news.
Yes. Well, that poll that come in, we've got a quick break, and we'll come right back to you if you want to, since we have this after this quick break. Be right back, folks.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing managed IT services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with managed IT services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Hey, Oblivion Radio family, thank you so much for hanging out. We're going to go right back to Sister Monica. We were talking, we always have some of our best conversations during the breaks. We've always talked about that. But there's this psychological term called cognitive bias. Something like that. In other words, go ahead, Sister Monica. Tell them about what we were talking about during the break.
Well, basically, we're talking about the good times we've been living in, and that you were talking about that. We've been living in good times. I guess it is true that, you know, this has been very comfortable for us, but I jumped in and said, yes, however, we are in a war, and this war is kind of all more dangerous, you could say, because it's a war of deception. And so it's an existential crisis we are in now. We are in times of actual, it's an existential crisis. Like, will we come out of this? Will we survive this? I think we will. We talk about this a lot. Actually, we talked about at the beginning of the first hour that, yeah, there is a lot of hope. We are rising. And when the spell breaks, look out, we are going to rise. But, you know, it's such a existential crisis. Look what has happened. The borders have opened. And, you know, basically the gates open and in flood the barbarians. And I know Alfred talks about that a lot. That's sort of, that's the end stage of any civilization that's being destroyed and going down. It's always by the usual suspects, I would say. But the last thing they do is they open the gates, they open the borders wide and let in all the barbarians. And what have we got going on right now? And so the more race mixing there is, the more dire our situation is, because really it all comes down to race. And even the discussion we had just now about, you know, the Russian soldiers who were the first, they were warning the German people, get leave, because those coming behind us are brutal. And they were of a different race, you see. So it is always racial. It is always racial. And so the more miscegenation there is, and I mean, we know that the policy by the Jews has been to get us all mixed up, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for the term racist being the most weaponized word of all the weaponized words. It's, you know, and there's a reason for all that they've bamboozled us with this nonsense that we're all equal. It's just skin deep, the differences and all that stuff. You know, there's a reason for it. This is their ultimate act of war, is to destroy our blood. I'll leave it at that.
You know, Paul says something. Paul, let me ask you one thing. Paul, you said something, not to cut you off, in the first segment of the first hour, you're talking about these Jews, and they said they were going to re-educate the German people. They're going to beat them down through massive propaganda. In the end time, they finally reached their goal. Their end game, they would have the German people now in any white people, I'll say white people anywhere, Canada, United States, anywhere, act to the point where they hated themselves. They had such guilt. They hated themselves. They were messing their own nest. An example of that is, I see people every day and I talk to them. I got to make this quick. I talk to young people every day when I go exercising in the park. They were in love with these damn dogs. And I'll say, why don't you have babies? Oh, no, we're not going to have those. They're too much trouble, and white people we're dangerous. You know, we're the filth of the earth. It'll be good when we die off. They actually tell you that. So, Paul, you said that's what the Jews wanted to do with their brainwashing. Paul, it looks like it's come to fruition. It seems like they've reached their goal, Paul. What do you think about that, brother?
Well, I think among some people, that's true. I mean, these will be people who, when they hit 50 or 5 or 60, are going to be wretched if they're still alive. Have had no kids. They'll have run through whatever pleasures that they've enjoyed up to that. You know, they've been incredibly selfish, and they'll have nobody to lean on. Many of these people don't have family or are removed from their family. It's a horrible existence. I know a number of people in my generation, especially women, bought into that, oh, the world's overcrowded, we shouldn't have children, that's a responsible thing to do. Meanwhile, they're banging them out, assembly line in Africa. But these women didn't catch that. Well, time creeps along, they hit, 60, often they find themselves alone, and their career, maybe, but it's not the satisfaction that they really need. It's sad that the propaganda has succeeded to that extent. Yeah, and the demoralization was not just at the Germans. They were the first, really. You know what? I hate to say it, but they got off light compared to what one of the earlier plans was, the plan by this Kaufman, who basically wanted all the males sterilized and then Germany reduced to a farming nation, so that within 40 or 50 years there'd be no more Germans. You know, if German males can't reproduce, then it's a race. And they're the ones always blabbering on about genocide.
Yes. Go ahead, Monica.
We should.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I want to hear what Paul was going to say just after I did my little rant, and then you asked the question, Eddie, but Paul was itching to respond.
Yes.
Do you remember?
It was just a factoid, but I'm wondering if, I believe that, I believe there were more or less Russian troops in Hungary in 56. And when everything erupted, the Russians eventually withdrew. Now, that was probably just tactical. So there's a short-lived freedom government in Budapest. And then when Khrushchev decided to crush the Hungarian Revolution, he sent it in Asiatic troops because they would feel no... I think at a certain level, Khrushchev couldn't absolutely be sure that this wasn't a war. The Hungarians hadn't attacked Russia. He wasn't 100% sure that he could count on his white Russian troops to shoot, to gun down Hungarians en masse. So he sent in the Asiatic units, and they crushed. Well, there was never any. There was never any contest, and when it became quite clear that the traitors like Eisenhower were not going to back the revolution, it was just a matter of coming in, mopping up, and doing some serious damage to the people.
You know, just because we just passed the Holocaust Remembrance Day, and this is, on this topic, very topical to what we've been discussing for the last hour and a half, almost now. The latest article that we published on our website, thetruthandjusticeforgermans.com, so go there and find the latest article there, and it's about, in 1944, the British... truth ministry, I think that's what they actually called it. That sounds very Orwellian, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They had to invent the Holocaust to deflect from the atrocities that the Allied troops were doing to the Germans. They knew that, boy, if this gets out about all the horrors, the rapes and the horrors that were going on, they knew that they had to, deflect from that. And the best way to deflect from that is to put an even worse story onto the shoulders of those that you have done these horrible things to. In other words, the German people. Now the German people have suddenly become guilty of this horrible thing called the Holocaust, and, gas chambers and shrunken heads and soap made out of fat of the Jews and lampshades made from their skin and all these horrible, horrible things. And then people were not as likely to notice, or if they were told about some of these horrible atrocities that we've been talking about, they wouldn't even really care, because they would just think, well, they had it coming to them, didn't they now? What do you think about that?
I think that, that's a very significant article, and that kind of leads us into Dresden, because... There may be a few.
We can't hear you very well, Paul. Just something changed on your end.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better.
Okay, there may have been a few books in German, but it wasn't until David Irving came out with his book on Dresden in, I think it was 1963, that people got to learn about that. And his figures were real low balls. The fact is, this was organized mass murder. I think of about 3,000 Allied planes in several waves, British and American, directed by Bomber Harris, were bombed Dresden in Saxony on the, I believe, was the night of the 13th.
Yes.
And the morning of the 14th.
We got to go to a quick break, Paul. Don't lose that thought. Mark that place in your brain.
I want to tell a story. Yeah.
We'll, do not lose your place. We'll come to you as soon as we come back. This is going to be a long break. Be right back, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Jason Walker. Six people on board a medical transport jet are dead when the aircraft went down Friday night in Philadelphia. Mayor Sherrell Parker says more than just the plane was impacted.
We do want to note that several dwellings and vehicles were impacted. So what are we asking you to do for us right now, Philadelphia? We're urging you to please stay away from the scene. If you see debris, call 911. Don't touch anything.
And one person on the ground has now died of their injuries. At least 19 others on the ground were hurt. Juan Brown is a retired pilot and a current commercial pilot. In the wake of the crash near Washington, he says officials are likely examining the congested airspace in the region.
We're going to have to look at these routes. Are these routes really the right way to operate out of this area? Do we need to change these routes? Do we need to change the procedures in and out of this area? And I suspect it's going to change pretty quick because this is just cutting it awfully close, awfully close.
Also at townhall.com, more cuts within the new administration. Here's Donna Warder.
Director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Rohit Chopra, has been fired by President Donald Trump. A person familiar with the situation says the firing came in an email from the White House. Chopra worked under the Biden administration, but during Trump's first term, he had picked Chopra as a Democrat member of the Federal Trade Commission. Chopra has been an ally of Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, who says in a statement that Chopra held Wall Street accountable for cheating hardworking families. Chopra was to serve a 5-year term under the law, but said he would leave his post if Trump asked. Donna Warder, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of besthotgrill.com. We make the amazing Solaire infrared gas grills that are built to last and will consistently deliver better than restaurant grilled food. The Solaire infrared burner heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter. The high heat locks in the juices and flavor and grills food faster. Learn more about these fantastic USA-made grills at besthotgrill.com. Solaire hot, fast grills at besthotgrill.com.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as a dollar a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at getethos.com. That's getethos.com.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Raid of Family, thank you so much for hanging on. I just like to keep in mind that all the conversations we're having, the great conversations that with this whole month, the month of February, will be, we're honoring Dresden, Germany, the people that just died, the horrific way they died was beyond our way, any way we have of imagining. But we're going to go right back to Brother Paul, or without any further ado. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind people of the facts of Dresden. Dresden, which February 1945, the war is essentially lost. The Russians are 70 miles away. Dresden has absolutely no military value. It's not even defended. There's no armaments there. There's no military base. It was a traditional cultural center. And, of course, people probably recognize the name Dresden, China. It was a cultural center. So the decision to attack it... It had absolutely no military use. Germany was in complete retreat. The Soviets were rolling the German army back. They were within 70 miles of the Reich. The Allies had broken through after the Battle of the Bulge. They crossed the Rhine. The war is over. Just awaiting the surrender. Why the mass destruction? Irving was talking, I think, about 180,000. The figures I've seen go as high as 500,000. The reason for, we don't completely know, is that there were hundreds of thousands of refugees fleeing from the east, interested. So then they weren't all accounted for. Anyway, there was this mass bombing. The first bombs, the first wave dropped percussion bombs. The idea was to blow out the roofs. And then the next wave dropped incendiary bombs. Yeah, and Churchill said, we're going to baste the Germans. Now, based to me means something a little different. It means, spreading something on a roast. But it was clearly meant you're going to incinerate them, as civilians. Yeah, if that isn't a war crime, I don't know what was. He should have swung at Nuremberg if it hadn't been a kangaroo court. This was an absolutely senseless war crime. So what happened was that the second wave set off masses of fires, and that set off a firestorm, which would suck the air out of your lungs. So if you didn't necessarily have to be roasted, you just couldn't breathe. And then a final wave came over, and the British had waited just long enough, hoping that they would be able to catch rescue units and fire units, etc., coming in from neighboring cities. And a lot of these people were killed. The destruction was incredible. And then the next day, some of the people had fled. And, of course, this is February. It's cold, into the waters of the Elbe River. And they sent in fighters to strafe them. This is butchery. These aren't soldiers. Maybe they'd be legitimate targets. These are civilians, and they knew they were civilians. Yeah, no wonder they want to keep the hype up about the Holocaust and so on, because I think a decent person looking at this as an Englishman, it'd be enough to make an alligator barf. You know, it was outrageous what was done, and so it was massively underplayed, and it took Irving and then others since. And one of the there's a famous photo of bodies all stacked up, and it's usually attributed to some German detention camp. These are, dead Jews. These are the charred bodies of people in Dresden. They were stacked up prior to being, I think they were going to be just mass burial. Everything was breaking down. It was just outrageous. It should be a crime forever hung on Eisenhower and on Churchill.
Absolutely. I'd like to add a little bit more, because I didn't read the book like Sister Monica, but I've seen the movie, and it's very, very hard to watch. But I'd just like to give a few gruesome details, because people need to hear the gruesome details. There were women and children, men, not to make that much difference, because humans were humans, but we were talking about during the break earlier, the asphalt in the streets got so hot that it actually ran like water. Where it ran like a river, like a creek, and people were caught up to that in their ankles and their knees, and they would fall and fall down into the liquid asphalt. I can't even imagine. Imagine getting striking a match or getting a little drip of a candle on your arm, and then imagine falling into something much hotter than that. They even, Paul, the fighter pilots, they strafed intentionally. There was a park there with a zoo, a very lovely park, and people fled to the park because they're thinking, surely they won't attack us in this park. They'll know we're civilians. They won't attack the zoo. They machine gun the animals on purpose. I mean, one of them, like a giraffe or a zebra from the movie earlier, is one of those such animals. His leg was shot. One of his legs was shot off, and the fighter pilot came and finished. They finished him off intentionally. They killed the animals. They killed every living thing. It's just, and you know what? It's just unimaginable. And
remind me which people were the war criminals.
Absolutely. And I'll go back to that. The church, Winston Churchill. What a Satanist! What a demon possessed son of a bitch he was. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I've been told that that Churchill's mother was a Jew.
Don't tell me about military target or no military target. No, tell me how I can roast or baste 600,000 yes. Germans or 500,000 Germans. That's what he said. So yeah. It's very well documented. Everybody knew there was no military target in Dresden. Yeah, sorry I cut in there, but I think
You
were trying to think of that. But I'll just say three comments here. One is my mother's voice. She did not often talk about the war when we were growing up. It was quite seldom, actually. But whenever she did talk about anything about the war, I'll never forget that she always would come back to Dresden and say, "Why Dresden?" And she was just so absolutely in such a devastated frame of mind when she was thinking about it. She would just say, "Why Dresden?" Because she said everybody knew it was just women and children and injured, refugees from the east as well, and just packed with civilians. And it was the most beautiful, beautiful architecture ever. Every single brick, every single window frame, every single column on every single building was ornately decorated. It was like the whole city was like a wondrous place, and so beautiful, and no military targets. And also the people thought that nobody would ever hit a place like this, because no human being would ever be able to actually destroy something so beautiful. And they hadn't been struck in the whole war. It was 1945. The war had been going on for years, and they were actually out celebrating that night because it was Fushing. And Fushing is a time of partying, reveling in the streets. And I think the first bombs hit right at the peak of, you know, the people being out in the streets reveling, partying, and it was after dark. So that was the why Dresden comment. I do hear the, and I didn't get to my other two comments that I was going to make about Dresden, I guess after the break.
Yes, we'll have to do that after the break for sure. We cannot neglect that. Be right back, folks.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
In the morning. Smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Cool, they're red, white, and blue.
Oh, Blood River Radio faithful. Thank you so much for hanging on. But I think Sister Monica's got a few more points she wants to make, quotes about Dresden. I'd like to put this. We're going to be talking about Dresden some this entire month. But anyway, go ahead, Sister Monica.
Not quotes, just comments.
Yes, comments.
You're on to the quotes, Eddie.
I'm going to be precise.
It's not the only thing I can do.
Of course.
I made my first point. It was going to be really brief, but I couldn't help but go on a tangent there. But the second point was going to be, now you have such demoralized young German people who have been so re-educated, George Orwell style, that they have been seen, these Antifa types, and they're German, you know, Aryan women, beautiful German women that have painted on their bellies and then parade in the streets with this painted message showing on their naked bellies, "Bomber Harris, do it again." Can you imagine? Do you know what that means? If anybody is not aware, who is Bomber Harris? I guess he was the head bomber there of the bombing crew that demolished Dresden that we were just talking about. And then third point I wanted to make is when they have their commemorations nowadays, every year there is a commemoration and memorial service in Dresden on, I think, the Saturday closest to this, this anniversary, this terrible anniversary of when they demolished Dresden. And you've got the people, the people who are awake, and they have their memorial and they're very curtailed in their activities. But then you have the official ceremonies, and you know what they say in the official ceremonies? Oh, 25,000 Nazis were killed here. And then in the next sentence, Alfred reported on this was a few years ago, and the next, because they attended, and the next sentence was, and then the next morning these Nazis went out and rounded up the remaining Jews in Dresden. Like, so even that, they couldn't leave it be. And that number 25,000, you could say 20-fold, like not just add a zero, but then double it again. Like, it's, I think it, like you say, that we can't really know the exact numbers because the city was filled to bursting with all these refugees, German refugees fleeing the Red Army. So anyway, those were my points. Back to you.
Paul, you said you might want to talk about that sign you saw about Canada not for sale, Greenland not for sale.
This was a billboard. A picture was sent to me, and it said something like, Panama, not for sale. Greenland, not for sale. Canada, not for sale. America, the USA, owned by Israel. And Monica's talked about the clownish behavior of America's political class. It makes me wonder. But keeping on the topic of Dresden, a group in Toronto called the Committee of German Expellees has for a number of years, I'm going to say 40 years, not always necessarily by that name, it had an annual commemoration in the German community of Dresden. And I participated,
Paul?
Hello? I hope we didn't lose him.
I didn't know if it was me. Here's a quote. Till he comes back, I'm going to read this quick. I got this from The Power of Prophecy. It just says, talk about the Jews. Would Trump be willing to instigate World War III for Israel? Well, and this is real short. If one would look at his cabinet nominees, it seems quite obvious. Judge Andrew Napolitano said that Trump's senior executive leadership's picks are 60% Jewish and 100% Zionist. So hell yes. It's always a Jew, always Jews all the time. Churchill was a stinking Jew. That's why he hated those white German Christians so bad. So it doesn't know if Paul's back yet or not, but that's true. I mean, it's laughable, people thinking Trump is going to do something for the white Americans here in the United States or Canada or whatever. I mean, he's converted over to Judaism. People say, oh, well, you can't trust the internet. I've seen pictures of it. Go ahead, Paul. We were carrying on. We carried on without you for a second. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay. There's going to be a commemoration next Saturday, February the 15th, at 2 p.m. at the Danube Swabian Club in Scarborough, in Toronto. And this year, I'm getting a number of young people to come. Partly for education,
But it's no fault of young people. They don't know about it. I would say a lot of people, twice their age don't know about it. So I'm hoping that this will be it won't be a joyous gathering, but it will be an encouraging gathering to have new people, and not just the older generation.
Yes.
And up until about a year ago, we actually had a woman who survived Dresden. And one of the stalwarts who comes out, even though he's Czech, as a child, saw the flames of Dresden. I think it's 60 miles away from where he was in Czechoslovakia.
Wow, isn't that something? My goodness. You were talking earlier. Sorry.
Go ahead, Monica. Go ahead.
Yeah, you were talking earlier, Paul, about the second wave of bombs being the incendiary bombs and the firestorms that started, and the winds became so strong that it sucked people into the firestorm, sucked people and objects in. And then you would also talk about the asphalt, the melting asphalt, and people would actually get stuck in that. And then if they fell down onto their hands because their feet got stuck and they fell forward, then their hands would get stuck. And then they became human torches. If there was a hell on earth, that would have been it right there in Dresden during those 3 days, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of February, 1945.
I don't see how hell could be any worse. Go ahead, Paul.
I think one of the duties we have, and one of the things we can do, is to retain the memory. History has a weird way of, after a generation, yesterday's heroes are today's villains, and vice versa. But we must keep the memory alive. And I remember the name of a Russian patriotic group before the fall of communism. It was Pamiat, and essentially they wanted to get in touch with their Russian roots, retaining the memory of their people. Well, you can't blame anybody for that, except Germans. But I think it's really important that this be kept alive and introduced to new generations. And I think Blood River Radio is playing a great role in that, in introducing what happened in Dresden. I could say, although it's not Germany, I could say a lot more about what happened in Japan.
Yes.
Again, a totally useless massacre, but maybe for another program.
On that note, and we're running up really close to the end, I'll just say one thing on that note, Paul, of making sure that we keep the memory alive. And I would just want to encourage people who are listening, please do share the link to the archives of these shows to somebody. Now, if everybody that's listening does that with one other person that they feel should learn and would benefit to hear this, and then do that. It's just a very simple action, and I just want to encourage people to do that.
You two people have given two. We're always about solutions on Blood River Radio. Sister Monica, being a pillar of Blood River Radio, knows that. You too, Paul. You two wonderful people have just given two great solutions, and I commend you for that, and absolutely we should all do that, including yours truly. And, we should also point out the cause. And I know I hammer this to people, but I believe in my heart, if you look who was behind Second World War, First World War, it's always Jews all the time. And they hate, my God Almighty, they hate white people. They hate white Christians with a satanic hatred because they are their father, the devil. And that's one point you can never let anybody try to refute it from you. It's true. I mean, people, I guess we've run completely out of time. I'm really, really bad about getting emotional on this stuff, but I think it's rightfully so. Sister Monica, thank you so much for coming in. And Brother Paul, thank you so much. I think y'all did a wonderful job tonight.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Goodbye.
Have a good show on RBN tonight, Sister Monica. Bye-bye, y'all. Folks, hang on your seats. I'll be right back. We're transitioning to the third hour. The Bitter Ender is going to cover the Knoxville Massacre, where two precious Christian white people were brutally murdered by a pack of feral black animals, and the whole story was suppressed and still being suppressed by the Jewish control media. Be right back, folks. Come into the third hour in 2 minutes.